It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, and all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
What are you doing that stupid trickery crap for?
Is Felger and Mass.
The continued ish.
On 98.5.
I just want to see what the fuss is about.
The Sports Hub.
I'll probably hate it.
All right, Felger and Mass, 98.5 on the FM dial, simulcast across New England and the country on NBC Sports Boston. That's the TV side. Download the app. We've got a great app, 98.5 The Sports Hub app. The stream pops up immediately when that thing downloads. You can also catch all the replays, so if you miss an hour or segment or the show, Felger and Mass, we put the entire show up on that website and that app that night, so you can catch up that night or the next morning. Back to your phones on everything. Oh, by the way, we have a winner on the trivia question, the informal trivia question, not Mass's Trivia Tuesday. Asked the last North American pro team to contract, I was right, the Cleveland Barons. In 1976, 77, Murray?
78 was their last season.
Cleveland Barons, last team to contract. So, baseball ain't contracting. No one's contracting. They're just giving us more. The question is, can we stem the tide? Can we just, you know, give us less more than more and more? If that makes any sense.
Sure it does.
Back to the phones. Patrick and Woburn. Go ahead, Patrick.
Hey, seals before reels, guys. Seals before reels.
I have no idea what you just said.
Basically, it means that, you know, having fun over, you know, winning, having, it's kind of like the whole millennial thing.
Oh, I see.
What's real.
Thank you.
So, no. So basically, I'm just as a disclaimer, I'm pro Belichick, and I'm not really much into Brady anymore with the whole snake oil salesman thing he's got going on. So let me ask you this. Obviously, Hackenberg is, well, he's Hackenberg. So, what do you guys see as maybe a realistic plan on a way to phase Brady out? I mean, I'm almost thinking you have to go to the draft because there's probably no one out there, and I get it. Who can
Tom Brady? So you're breaking up. What's the plan to replace Brady? They don't have one.
There isn't one.
Don't have one.
No, they had, but they don't anymore.
Right. Don't have it. So, like, I almost think the best course of action is to you just got to convince Brady to give you 3 more years, but real years. Not what he's doing here. Like, years where he actually, I don't know, shows up in the offseason? Like, that's what I need. That's what they need. That was the whole plan. That's why you move on from Garoppolo. So that's what they need.
Do you find it odd that they didn't take a quarterback in this draft?
They did.
I know. You know what I mean.
I found it predictable. Like, just like them, to have this huge gaping need, have it all set up for 1 year with a deep quarterback draft, and they draft nobody. So them.
See, but to me, it's another element that suggests that Belichick's not going to be here whenever the next guy's picked. That it's going to be McDaniels who chooses, and after they pass the baton, McDaniels will pick his guy. He'll smooth it over with Tom to make sure, not that Tom really cares anymore anyway. But that Bill, fine, okay, we're going to commit to Tom, we'll commit to Tom, and then Bill's out. And then they'll pick the next guy. And to me, that's how I feel. Otherwise, why wouldn't you take another one right now?
Dakota and Braintree on Kyrie Irving. What are your thoughts, Dakota?
Hey, before I get to Kyrie, Jay Stu, this morning you were in the studio with the throw ride, right?
Yes, that's correct, Dakota. Go.
This kid showed up on a Yawkey League team that I was playing on. We were short some players. The guy running the team had this guy down. He absolutely was a savage. It was the funniest thing, even before he was the throw man. It was hysterical.
Okay, what's your point?
This
Go.
Is a second straight call. I have no idea what people are talking about.
Me neither. Jimmy was on the morning show today. That's all I know.
Go, Dakota, on Kyrie.
Yeah, all right. On Kyrie, first of all, during that Game 7, I was unaware that he wasn't on the bench. And after it sunk in, and listen, I love Kyrie. I hope he's here forever. I hope he's healthy. But to me, it's unexcusable that this guy was not on the bench in a Game 7 to help out this young team, as well as face LeBron, Cleveland, whatever it is. I actually cannot wrap my head around it unless there was a death in his family that was unannounced, okay? There is no excuse.
I agree, Dakota.
What could be the excuse, Mike, for this guy to go to the NBA Finals, to be a veteran leader, your cornerstone player? How is he not there?
Thank you.
Makes zero sense.
It's just a horrible look. Just a horrible look. Now, does it mean that, was that a sign that they're on the outs? I never considered that. I never went that far. I never said, you know, well, that means the Celtics are going to trade him or he's done with, you know, like, that never crossed my mind. I just thought it was a selfish, typical selfish NBA diva move. He's got a movie tour coming up. He wants to make sure he clears his nasal passages before he does all these movie interviews because he doesn't want to sound bad. So he's skipping a big NBA game because he's got to do his movie junket. Like, that's my rip. Typical NBA, you know, superstar diva behavior.
That's why I didn't think much of it. But now, I don't know, maybe it was a sign.
I'll tell you, the deeper we get into this, I don't eliminate anything. I eliminate nothing. To me, the idea that Kyrie wouldn't be here beyond the coming season never occurred to me until Mike Gorman popped up. And then all of it, now I feel the deeper we get into it, the more worried I am about his future in Boston.
Victor in the car has been waiting forever. Thanks for hanging on, Victor. Are you still there?
Yeah, that's all right, Mike. No problem at all. Hey, listen, it's very simple. People in Boston don't like divas, okay? This whole Brady thing, Gronk thing, they want fun. Send Gronk down to Tampa Bay. You can shoot the cannons on the flagship down there. They score touchdowns. You know what I'm saying? I mean, package them up. Package them up. Take Brady. Oh, you go to Miami and feed the Dolphins. Either way. But the point is, package them up, right? Brady and Gronk and ship them up. They're so tight. Get on the Gronk bus and drive away. And I'm going to validate with the reasons why. The reasons why are, we're going to be here in 2 years, three maybe, probably like one, two, have the same conversation. Brady's going to retire. Gronk won't stay. Gronk's staying. Brady's going to go. Send him now.
I'll tell you what, Victor. If we're here in 2 years doing that, consider that a win. That means they've stayed. That means they're both here, which means you're still probably pretty good. I'm thinking anything you get beyond this year is now gravy. Like, even, like, you'll get to the year. But the way it's going, like, if you're here in 2 years and Brady's still playing but talking about retirement and Gronk is still here at the motocrossing, take that as a win.
The time to trade him was last summer. That was the time to trade him. If they were going to do that, that's the time they had to do it. Now, forget it. You're married to him now, again, which is why Brady's acting the way he's acting, and that's ultimately why Gronk's acting the way he's acting.
Get this, folks. Ken Rosenthal of The Athletic, national baseball reporter, had the Red Sox on a list of teams that would be in on Manny Machado there, the slugging shortstop third baseman in Baltimore, when the Orioles ultimately move on from him. Okay, so that's one thing. Then Maz said he would consider trading Rafi Devers or Andrew Benintendi for Machado, and if Baltimore threw in one of their good relievers at the end of their bullpen, Zach Britton, and is it Bach? What's his name?
Yeah, Britton, that was the guy that I would want.
Zach Britton. So he would, so just so you know, Manny Machado is up at the end of the year. Zach Britton is up at the end of the year. He would be willing to trade Benintendi or Devers for those guys for just a half a season. Will in Bridgewater wants to weigh in on that. Go ahead, Will.
All right, yeah, if you don't want Machado, you're stupid, because when they deal their whole farm system for sale, it's like the Brady situation. You commit to a three-year window. So why are we focusing on, oh, the long term, oh, Devers is going to be good for the next 10 years or whatever? You deal Devers so you can win this year.
I think that's Maz's point.
So this is sort of where I'm at. Like, the way Rosenthal presented it was, the Orioles might have to throw in someone like Zach Britton for the Red Sox to be willing to give up 5 years of Devers in the deal. And I think I might do that now. Benintendi's harder. Okay, it's harder. For lots of reasons.
If you add Machado and Britton to this team, are they a World Series team?
If you keep Benintendi and get rid of Devers, yeah. I mean, they're as good, to me, they're as good as Houston and New York. They're right there.
But they're not right now.
No, I think they're short. I think they're a little behind those teams. I don't care what the wins and losses are. I think when they get into October and they play those teams with their current roster, they will lose. They might give them a better run than they did a year ago, but they'll lose. That's what I believe. And so, but if you were to add Machado and Britton, I think you could beat them. I think it's, you're pretty much a dead heat, and I'll take my chances. My only point is this, okay? And I prefer to focus on Devers, because to me that was the scenario that Rosenthal presented. Benintendi gets clunkier. Not just for position for position. You're a better team with Benintendi than you are with Devers. So the idea is to keep Benintendi, play him in left field, upgrade at third base with Machado, and add Britton to the bullpen. If you add Machado and Britton by taking Devers out, I think I would do it. And listen, I get it. I understand what you're giving up long term. What future do you have? When people say well, you're damaging your future, what future? They have no future. Their minor leagues have been stripped naked. They've got nothing down there. There is no future.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Making sense of Boston sports.
There's no catching and no throwing. Anyone can play, no matter how hopelessly unathletic they are.
Felger and Mass, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
I just want to go to work and feel appreciated and have fun.
I enjoyed it a lot today. I love playing the game of football. The game of football is fun.
You know, it's just a good process for me, and it's been fun to be out here with my teammates. I'm excited about the years.
Our players will be let off today at 2. I'm excited about this team, and I think we're going to have a lot of fun this year.
I loved it last year, and, you know, I'm having a lot of fun now, so that's obviously what's most important to me.
It's all about fun, Murray. Blow your horn. That is one crappy little horn right there.
Yeah,
you got.
I bought it at the same place I got the wooden whistle, the train whistle at the time, and I got this. And
what is it, like just a horn store?
It's like a bike whistle.
Yeah, it's like a junk store.
Bike horn, yeah, it's a bike horn.
But they just sell...
Yeah, I got a kazoo and a slide whistle, but they were both awful. I was like, oh, I'll bring some junk to the show.
Bought a kazoo?
Yeah, it was like $1.50.
Oh, it's all about fun. Fun, fun, fun.
Everybody have fun tonight. Everybody wang jump tonight.
So they got to have fun. And so Bill tries to get with the program and have some fun, except his idea of fun is leather helmets and covering up the digital clock. Poor guy.
Yeah, how come we don't get water balloons?
So.
I want the slip and slide.
Again, to me, the worst of the worst, because I just, it's such a tell, or maybe he just doesn't mean it, but the very end of that last Brady comment that you heard right there, I'm having a lot of fun now. He just said this last week. I'm having a lot of fun now. So that's obviously what's most important to me. Having fun is now most important to you.
It's really unbelievable. So to me, Brady is the head of the snake in this thing.
So let me ask you, the new Tom Brady, Tom Brady 2018, what is most important to him? And I'm going to take one thing and say, well, we're going to assume that that's number one and that's family. Okay, family. His kids, his wife, his parents, family is number one. That's what's most important to him. We got it. Like everybody else, if you've got, if your heart is beating in your chest, what's most important to you is your family. So that's number one. Taking that out, what's next?
His brand.
Yeah, the business. TB12.
That's what I had too.
His brand.
Brand.
Like, to me, there's no question. It's his brand. And I think that is now evident. TB12 means more to him than the Patriots do. And Shaughnessy asked that question in his column, and to me this cuts to the core of it. If he could pick right now between Alex Guerrero and TB12 or the Patriots, he had to choose one, what would he pick?
TB12.
No question. I don't even think he bats an eye doing it.
This would be his life going forward. But that's a change. Football and the Patriots used to be the most important thing to him. What's after brand business?
Being a celebrity.
Well, to me,
I think that ties in.
Yeah, that sort of all goes to the same. I would say
I have something else.
Beating
Bill Belichick.
Well, so I was going to say winning without Bill Belichick.
Do you think?
But go ahead.
Do you think Brady would rather go to the AFC Championship game with Josh McDaniels or the Super Bowl with Bill Belichick?
AFC Championship with McDaniels.
Right. Agreed. Now he doesn't want to be 4-12, so I'm not going to give you that. You know, that's not the choice. The choice is winning the division, going deep in the playoffs, but maybe not all the way with Josh McDaniels or going all the way with Bill Belichick.
So I said this earlier. I'm starting to wonder maybe we've been looking at it wrong. Like, we've always asked the question of...
I have to still think he'd want to go to the Super Bowl even if he hates Bill's guts.
But what, you know... All right, so present it this way. Going with Bill or going without him?
I mean, I'd rather go without him.
No question.
Okay, so maybe that's a better way to put it.
Again, landslide. Like, again, I don't think there's any question. We've always asked the question, you know, and looked at it through the Belichick eyes.
Beating the Jets or beating Bill? What's more important to him right now?
Beating Bill.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I think, so I don't know if I phrased that totally right.
Well, no, he's beaten the Jets a million times.
It's sort of like, I think, I don't know, I just think that's what he's looking at right now.
Yes, he's acting more selfishly now than he did in the past. He's acting now more in his own interests than he is in those of the team. So this, to me, is like the crystallization of it. We've always said Bill wants to win without Tom. Now I think Tom wants to win without Bill. We never really looked at it that way. Maybe because Bill was the coach and we just assumed Bill would be here and Tom wouldn't.
So I just, and then, so having fun or winning?
Winning still.
I still say winning.
Then shut up about the having fun.
See, Tom. I don't think it's about the fun.
Shut up about the fun. I don't want to hear about the fun.
The fun is needling Bill. That's why he keeps talking about that.
Maybe so. Fine. Okay. Then I'll accept that. Don't tell me, Tom. Don't tell me that having fun when you show up to practice is more important than winning. Because that's what you said. I'm having a lot of fun now, so that's obviously what's most important to me. So don't tell me that you really mean that. That you just, that was tweaking Bill or it's a turn of a phrase or something. Don't, because I know you don't believe that. I can't accept that you believe that. Winning is the most important thing. Now, I think there's plenty of players like Gronkowski. I don't know. It might be 50-50 at this point.
No, Gronk could be about the fun. Yeah, Gronk could be. Although, again, I think that, to me, I almost look at Gronk as like a secondary thing in this whole thing. I have a hard time taking him seriously. Because at the end of the day, if Brady were on board, Bill would have traded Gronk's ass by now. It would have been over. I'm not kidding. I think he would have traded him, and he said, we'll find another way. Maybe he'd have kept Amendola, and he would have traded Gronk, or they'd have drafted a tight end, or whatever. Any one of a million scenarios, he would have done to Gronk what he has done to every guy who has gotten to the point where he questions his commitment. Brady's different because he's the quarterback. But Gronk to me is like a sidecar in this thing. He really is. This is about Brady. It's been about Brady to me from the beginning.
Okay, so that was the Brady take of the day. I know it's similar to previous Brady takes this week, but what do you want? Here's Pete in Delaware. Go ahead, Pete.
Hey, guys. Hey, don't you think in some ways that Brady kind of let Belichick off the hook after the whole thing with Malcolm Butler? Because the way he's acting right now, he's setting himself up that if he doesn't play as good as he did last year, you know what? He's going to get criticized, and he's going to earn it.
There's no question that if Brady regresses this year, I'm going to start with the preparation. I'm going to start with the work you put in the offseason, like I do with any other player. I'm going to treat him like I would any other player. You didn't show up for the offseason program? You weren't there a single day except for the 3 days you had to be there? That's, if any other player at any other position falls and slips and, you know, like gets hurt even, you know, I say, where were you when all these other guys were working out in April and May? And so that's why I'm going to go with Brady. And I don't know if everyone else will. So Brady has put a target on his back with that. There's no question about it. But don't think that anyone's left Bill off the hook for Butler. People still are all over Bill for Butler. He hasn't gotten any breaks on that.
Do you think Brady right now is set up to succeed or fail?
I don't.
Okay, so my point is this. Brady's not going to have a lot of the toys he's had in the past. There's no Amendola. He's going to be without Edelman for the first four games.
Right.
He's got no left tackle. He's got a rookie running back. Like, so,
and he's put in no work with the new guys.
So he doesn't have Brandon Cooks. Not that that's a big deal, but like whatever. The point is he has less familiarity overall with his receiving core than he has had in the past.
If he's the same guy he was last year, I'd be impressed. Surprised. Too. I'd be surprised.
So I think Brady is set up right now to be worse. I think he's set up to be worse just by nature of the players around him. And I can't help but wonder, too, if there's a message in that from Belichick on some level, whether it was done deliberately or not. In other words, okay, Tom, so you know it's all about you now. Fine, then win without Amendola, win without Brandon Cooks, you're now without Jules for four games, win without a left tackle, and let's see if Sony Michel can hold on to the football. So go ahead, Tom. If you're that good, if you are the GOAT, go ahead. Let's see.
Here's Eric in Oxford. Hi, Eric. I'm Manny Machado. Your thoughts?
Maz, I agree with you on the trade for Devers for Machado, but my question is, if he was to come here and want to sign here, what position would he be playing? Because he made it clear with Baltimore that he doesn't want to play third base no more.
Okay, so for half a year into a contract year on a team going to the World Series, don't you think he'd play third?
Third base. What's he going to do, not play in a contract year?
Right.
Third base. shut up, get your ass back to third, hit 350 in the second half and slug 650. You'll make a ton of money, and then you can play wherever you want. But with us, you're playing third.
Nick in Chelmsford, why did Kyrie miss Game 7?
I think he missed Game 7 because it was a lose-lose situation in his head. His ego got in the way, and he knew that no matter what team won, they would go to the finals without him.
Huh. Huh. And he didn't want the ABC given a close-up of him on the bench with his nose bandage and Mark Jackson saying, what does this say about Kyrie Irving?
I mean, what a great point, though. That no matter what happens...
Either way, it reflects on him.
Yeah, someone was going to the finals without him. I mean, it never occurred to me in those terms. He's right. Kyrie was at a no-win there. Somebody was going without him. Either LeBron... Or they were going to beat LeBron without him.
So he didn't want to have to feign happiness for his teammates? I don't think.
Or just what? Dark. No, just that commentary. Just the close-up of Kyrie Irving sitting on the bench as either Cleveland or Boston goes to the finals, and Mark Jackson and Jeff Van Gundy saying, well, it turns out Cleveland didn't need Kyrie, did they? Hmm. Well, it turns out Boston didn't need Kyrie, did they?
I mean, amazing, really. Again, now look... I think that Kyrie's enthusiasm on the bench during the postgame, to me, it felt real. He seemed into it.
Oh, he should have been there.
But no. Game 7, he should have been there.
And who cares what people say?
So, and I don't think that, at the end of the day, I don't think Mark Jackson would have said that.
Right.
My guess is he would have said, what a great story for Boston to get there without Irving, blah, 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 blah. But the caller is dead on. Somebody was going without him, one way or another. Like, if you put it in those terms, that's a bad day for Irving.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Maz. Sometimes they're hot on the topic.
Junta.
Magenta?
Junta.
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 Sometimes you have to wonder if there's a gas leak in the building.
Woohoo! Whoop-de-doo!
Felger and Maz, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right. What's something that you'd be proud to say you taught him?
To recycle.
No, one big bag. One big bag, all goes in one place.
So, first part there was Giselle did an interview with Vogue online called 73 Questions. Vogue does it with others. Started to watch this a little bit today, go down the rabbit hole. Cindy Crawford has one, blah, blah, blah. So it's a common thing. So Giselle did a 73 questions interview with Vogue, where it's a walk and talk where she's walking around her estate there in Brookline, starting in her office in a side building, across the lawn, into the kitchen, through the front door, out the back door, where she sees Tommy practicing chipping. And she's asked a series of questions. It's so fake and scripted and wooden. It's just like, blah, 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 blah. That was my only part that I liked, where she told Tommy to recycle. And of course, Mr. I Hate the Earth over there.
No, one big bag. One big bag, all goes in one place.
Exactly.
He was one of my people. And then he got corrupted by Giselle. Probably because she just kept yapping and yapping. And yet, fine, I'll put it in the bin rather than using one big bag. You pain in the ass.
One big bag. I like that. That should be our next t-shirt.
So if you want to see the whole interview, go nuts. It's
7 minutes too long. I can't believe it's that long. It's eight and change.
It's what you would expect. It'll be one of these things that, you know, Hardy's famous line is, every time I see one of these from Brady or Giselle, I die a little death. Like, I a little piece of me dies every time I see one of these.
That's why I didn't watch it.
So this is another one that if you just watch it, you'll be like, oh,
I want to live.
Brother. But anyway, this is now where we hear from Tom and Giselle. Vogue and Oprah Winfrey. The big Tom Brady, Oprah Winfrey sit-down will be on Sunday. They released one Q&A today. So, we played you the trailer. But there was one Q&A that they released today. This is like a 1 or 2 minute long cut. And, we'll just play it for you. Here's a sample of what you're going to get on Sunday with Brady and Oprah.
Actually, was moved by something I heard you say on one of the episodes. You said, spirituality is my deepest purpose. I want to know the whys of life, and I want to know why we're here and where we're going.
Yeah.
And I thought, gee.
Yeah.
I you know, watching you play football, I wouldn't have thought of you as a spiritual person or that spirituality was a kind of thing you were seeking or conscious about.
Yeah.
But spirituality is your purpose.
Can I just stop for a second?
What do you mean by that?
Do you get the length of this question?
Yeah, no, it's long.
Do you think the Oprah interview is about Brady or about Oprah?
About Oprah. No, it's her show.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, Super Soul Sunday.
Ask the question.
Oh, yeah, already, yeah.
I got it. He said spirituality is important to him. Now ask the question.
Oh, yeah, no. Oprah loves herself some Oprah.
So I think this is about Oprah as much as anything. Anyway.
But the whole spirituality introspection, I'm about to puke.
Why don't you listen
going.
To him? Oh, yeah. Why don't you listen to his answer? Right,
fine. I think Oprah's got another 30 seconds question.
Go.
Stand by.
Seeking or conscious about.
Yeah.
But spirituality is your purpose. What do you mean by that?
Well, I think I have, curiosities in many ways. Mm-hmm. And, I think a lot of it is learning and loving to learn. Mm-hmm. And I think since I was a kid, just loving the experience of learning new things, learning how they impact my life, learning how they impact my relationships. My wife would say we're spiritual beings having a human experience.
Yes. That's one of my favorite phrases.
I know. It's great. And it's so true. And
I'm sorry. Hold on. We're spiritual beings having a human experience.
Yeah.
You see, my wife would say we're spiritual beings having a human experience.
Yeah, like the kooks that believe this kind of thing. Once you leave your body, your spirit is still around.
Hold on. There might be something to that.
I can totally see his wife saying that, though. Like, totally, never mind.
Go ahead.
Just go.
Bunch of dream catchers. Go ahead.
We good?
Yeah, we're good. Yeah, okay.
My wife would say we're spiritual beings having a human experience.
Yes. That's one of my favorite phrases.
I know.
Yes.
It's great, and it's so true. And it's, I want to live a great, impactful, purposeful life, and I want to impact people from the lessons that I've learned and see if people can learn anything and try to, relate it in their life some way.
Oh, you're such a giving guy, Tom. I mean, so people can learn something and apply it in their life.
Do you think she knows who Jim McNally is? Or John Jastrzemski?
No.
So this is what we're going to get on Sunday.
She wouldn't even know who Jim McMahon is, let alone those guys.
She doesn't know who Vince McMahon is. Or Ed.
Oprah, you're fired. Oprah!
Oh, the whole thing, please. The spirituality. The introspection. Please. I'm going to puke. I am totally going to puke. Like, just watching that thing, I went, oh, my God. Like, this is what it is? I have curiosities.
Can you hear the question again, please? Just starting the question.
I have curiosities.
Go.
Actually, was moved by something I heard you say on one of the episodes. You said, spirituality is my deepest purpose. I want to know the whys of life, and I want to know why we're here and where we're going.
Okay, so start.
And I thought, she...
So, again, I thought winning was the number one thing for him. It was just...
No, this is proof of the business being the most important thing. And this is where I get off board with Tom Brady. As much as I love him as a football player and I support him in the Bill v. Brady thing, he's reached Tom Cruise, Tony Robbins type level where he thinks he can affect the world. Like his book, his methods, his training methods, drink all this water, all the nonsense, the TB12 method, he feels like he can truly change the world with all of this. And he's gone off the deep end with it. Like this is where he becomes as unrelatable of a weirdo as you can find.
But again, the Brady that I know, not that I know him, but that I've covered and have come to know, is the most important thing to him is beating his friend at backgammon, that he sit down, and if he loses, he tosses the thing across the table because he can't stand losing. The number one thing for Brady is winning. The most hyper-competitive guy we've ever seen. And it's true. All those stories you hear about him on the golf course, at the backgammon table, playing ping pong, like they're true. That's Brady. He's like that brat, like that hyper-competitive, annoying SOB. Like, that's what I know from Brady. That's the most important thing to him. Always has been. That's what his number one goal is. Always have been. Now it's the spiritual beings leading a human life? Do you believe that, or is this just Giselle? Is he just doing the Giselle thing to do the Giselle thing?
No, I think it's partly... I think some of it's genuine. In fact, because again, on some level, it is competitive. It's about his business. And it's about making money. And it's about, ooh, there's an opportunity here for me, and I can teach people how to do it, and I can succeed at this. Like, I think some of it is it's consistent with his personality.
It's got so goopy. The thing about the question of how we got here and why we're here, like, I'm into that one, too. How did we get here? Like, that's the question, isn't it? Like, and I'm willing to banter that one about. Are we, like, an alien spinoff? Was it like, did we live on another planet, and that planet was dying out, so they sent a spaceship with our DNA here, and poof, like, this is how we got here? Or is it like Jimmy's version, where God created us in 6 days and then he rested on the seventh? Is that what it is? Like, how did we get here? Like, that's a big one. I'm into that one. Like,
accidentally in a swamp.
I like that question.
Yeah. Look,
well, there's no accident.
Apes did something. They happened to do something out of their own little line, I think, and then we came from that.
Huh?
And we have
what?
The apes, rather
no,
than
I
do
know.
Another
okay,
apes.
No, I know, I'm going before the apes.
Oh, well, I don't know. You'll drive yourself nuts thinking about that.
But that, to me, is practical.
Oh,
like,
please,
I'm into that question.
Oh, no.
How did we get here?
Oh, no. Tom has curiosities that you don't, though. Don't you see?
My wife would say we're spiritual beings having a human experience.
I don't dismiss that one either.
No, he's a higher level of being.
What? Okay, the question I just raised, how we get here, is number two. The number one question is, if people have gone to war for this over centuries, is what happens when we die? Are we spiritual beings? Do we float around? Does our spirit float around?
I don't know. I don't drive myself nuts thinking about it. I try to enjoy it while I have it here.
See, I'm okay with these questions.
See, I think our spirit lives in others.
But the way he's putting it, I don't know. I'm not that interested.
That's my belief.
But there are like some practical questions there.
But I have some curiosity.
How did we get here? I'm into that one. Fine. I'm willing to
I can do 4 hours on that.
Banty about some theories. And then what happens when you die? I'm open for anything. I've dismissed nothing. Reincarnation? Possible. Our spirit floats around?
In your case, I hope not.
Possible? The pearly gates and heaven and hell? I wouldn't. That's not where I would put my money, but I'm not going to rule it out. A lot of people believe that, so
I'll be
fine.
There when you change your mind, Felby.
It's possible. Maybe I'll see you there, Jimmy.
What's your definition of paradise?
Could be the thing where nothing happens, zero. Like my Jewish family would believe, nothing, zero, it's done.
That's the one I'm on.
See you later.
Yeah.
That's it.
You're dead.
Lights out. The big lights out. But
sounds kind of boring.
Isn't that the question?
I generally lean that way myself.
It's definitely the boring answer. No question. So I'd like to think it's something else. We all would.
Oh, so you have curiosities too?
Yes.
Oh.
But
I thought only someone on such a high plane could have those kinds of curiosities. I mean, there's a spirituality about him that I wouldn't expect in a football player, Murray. Do you have curiosities? Or are you just some sort of cretin who just shows up, eats, sleeps, maybe has sex in a while, smokes a little
smoke
dope,
spot,
goes to bed,
and then tosses everything.
It's definitely the former.
It tosses everything
into one
giant garbage bag that he just then destroys the earth with.
Yeah, doesn't have time to recycle because he's sitting on his couch getting high.
Smoking pot and petting his cat.
He's busy. I mean, we know how it is. You get your own thing. Like, are you that or are you a higher being?
Definitely not a higher being.
Jimmy Stewart, what about Billy? Billy, are you a higher being?
Billy, how do you think we got here, kid? You've got to have a theory on that.
You know what? We got to do this someday. Billy's theory on life. Where it originated, where it's headed.
See, like that Chicxulub meteor that wiped out the dinosaurs. See, there is, the people who don't believe in evolution, there is a big gap in evolution where we still can't figure out how we went from there to there. So, like, maybe one of these meteors carried something that, whew, boom, and so we came from somewhere else.
Is that what they mean when they use the term the missing link?
Like, I'm sorry, no, that's between the Cro-Magnon man and Homo sapiens, something like that. Like, oh. Bigfoot, like, he's supposed to be there's a transitional figure in the evolutionary chain between some of the late primates and the early humans.
So the space pinata comes down, it breaks open, it has all these treats. The treats become the tadpoles eventually become the apes become us. That's basically
millions of years later, yes, you're on a couch in Melrose smoking pot and petting your cat and throwing all of your recyclable items in one big bag. Exactly. That's evolution sort of in 30 seconds.
I mean, I'll tell you what, you take a good look at Wallach, you can understand how we might have come from aliens.
I can banty this about without your weed, Murray. It's just why when Brady talks about the spiritual being and like, what, like, why does that do nothing for me? Zero.
Well, no. See, because he's expressing it on a level and in a manner in which someone like you couldn't possibly relate.
Okay. We apologize for that digression.
But I'd like an actual take. Does he believe in God? Does he believe in heaven? Does he believe in hell?
He won't commit to that because that's too polarizing.
Yeah, that's right. No. Giselle would pull up, but she would cut his nuts off on that one.
So instead, you say you believe in a higher power or you believe in spirituality as opposed to committing to the Christian God or the Jewish God or a different God because then, who knows? Maybe that other sect won't buy your Uggs.
Right. No, you're closing off an entire base of customers.
Revenues. Yes, yeah, exactly right. As Michael Jordan's famous line, Republicans buy shoes too.
And so do Buddhists and Catholics and all of them.
So you have a generic sort of belief. That's right. You don't cross anyone off that list. Wait, again, I apologize for that digression. We usually don't do that. The final word is next.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Oh, I like this.
This is Felger and Mass.
Part of me wants to do it just to feel what that feels like.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub. The Sports Hub. Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio, crazy.
Maz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Maz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this four-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Maz on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
And the final word is brought to you by Town Fair Tire. If you're looking for the best deal on tires, there's only one place to go, Town Fair Tire. The best prices.
Nobody.
And great free service. Yeah. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire.
Nope.
Nobody.
Buddy.
I don't know where Maz is, but earlier today he was certainly mad at some of the Tom Brady video that is...
No, he got angry at Giselle.
Yeah.
He got angry. You know when Maz gets angry? Like, not just like... No, angry. He was angry.
Yeah. Like, red in the face.
Yeah, let's
sometimes
hear it.
It gets to purple. No, so no. Here is Mad angry. Maz. Mad Maz at the Giselle video.
Moving Garoppolo didn't just cost you Garoppolo. It also cost you Bill. Not to mention part of Tom. It was an act. It was fake. The whole thing was fake. The whole thing was fake to create this little, you know, fake marital tension moment of, oh, I thought we were doing this. Oh, no,
it's
we're not.
It's to make it look like the stars, they're just like us.
Exactly.
See, they bicker. Oh, these two perfect people, they bicker just like everyone
it
else.
It was totally freaking fake. No, and let me tell you how the real conversation went. Tom, you're not going to Montana. Stop. You're staying here. We're going somewhere. And Tom went, okay, Giselle, no problem. Yeah, I'll do whatever you want. That was it. That's how the real conversation went. That thing, oh my God, you couldn't be more right. So contrived. So fake. That whole thing was so fake. Exactly, Murray. Look at them. They bicker just like we do over the vacation spot. Yeah, that's what it was. Really. It was a lie.
He's getting angry.
Personally offended by Giselle and her 73 questions.
I'm telling you, the whole Tom Giselle thing, like, look at us trying to relate to the world. How could you possibly relate to the world? They're so out of touch, it's ridiculous. If this were Peyton Manning, oh my God, we'd be tearing him to pieces. Shredding him.
Well, he's Tom Brady and we're tearing him to pieces.
Yeah, but I mean the whole country.
That'd be on board, too. So with the continued Palace Q going on behind the scenes in Foxborough, we heard once again from Carlton in Tampa.
It's really the one hole in Bill's resume. How many times has Carlton from Tampa called and said to us, you know, recited Bill's record in Cleveland, Bill's record without Brady, all of that? So it's the one thing Bill could do to shut everybody up is to win with another quarterback.
Carlton, what is his record with Cleveland and without Tom Brady?
He's 8 games under 500 with Cleveland, and he's 1 game under 500 with the New England Patriots when Tom Brady did not start. So Bill has never had a winning record without Tom Brady. But I will tell you guys what's fun. What's fun is watching Bill Belichick try to deflect the Palace Q with Fenway School Trip Day, or Ancient Helmet Day, or I'm canceling the last 2 days of OTA Day, a.k.a. my culture told me under the bus for a bunch of late days. I'll tell you what's fun, watching Tom Brady talk about his frustrations of how he had to destroy his phone to protect his coach, and how the Patriots made Jimmy Hotfingers and John Jastrzemski disappear from the face of the earth so we could never really find out that it was all Bill Belichick's doing. I'll tell you what's fun, watching the following day and say, oh yes, they were trying to trade Rob Gronkowski. I'll tell you guys what's fun. One big bag cat boy wretch while he's watching Giselle in her Vogue interview. I am having more fun than any Ancient Helmet Day that Bill Belichick could ever come up with, guys.
So yes, this must be fun for the Patriots haters. It is. Because it does feel like if Rome isn't burning, at least it's starting to smolder. For sure.
We'll have fun until Bill takes the OTAs away.
This whole thing, he came up with a quote in there that I thought that we started checking around. Did Brady say this? Or that was just Carlton about the thing about Brady having to destroy his cell phone so Bill isn't implicated in Deflategate.
No, it was good stuff. Yeah, I thought maybe Brady said it on Oprah.
It's so right, and then, so then we had to start searching the Oprah comments. Like, well, maybe Oprah did get into something there.
As it turned out, Carlton made it up, which means he potentially has a future as a talk show host.
Felger and Maz.